glad to have you listening to Connecting Faith today. We always appreciate the opportunity to connect regularly with Lisa Marone, physical therapist, professor, author, and speaker, encouraging people to get healthy for heaven's sake. The title of her latest book, she's written a number of books on back and neck pain, and headaches and migraines, and overeating, diabetes, sleeping. And today, our Monday morning health tip is about adhesive capsulitis. What do you think, Ted? Does that sound impressive? That sounds
like
impressive.
Yeah.
And the fact is, I really don't know what I'm talking about there. But we might actually be talking about cooking because Lisa has some tips on defrosting. Lisa, what are we actually talking about today?
Hey, guys. Great to be with you. We are talking about something that is commonly known as a frozen shoulder. I don't know who began calling it a frozen shoulder. It's actually called adhesive capsulitis, but frozen shoulder is easier to figure out, I guess, what's going on. Your shoulder becomes painful, and then it stops moving so well. So I guess it's frozen in that regard.
Okay. So this is, if Ted gives me the cold shoulder, that's not the same thing, though, right?
True. Ted could give you a cold shoulder, but that would not be the same as frozen shoulder. Frozen shoulder actually happens, believe it or not, more to women than it does to men. So I don't know between you guys what's going on there, but no one's giving each other frozen shoulder in your gender. But more often than not, my patients that come in are female, and they're between the ages of 40 and 70. And they go through certain stages with this problem. But before we talk about that, just so that people understand the anatomy of the shoulder, what we're talking about is that your shoulder joint is pretty much your arm bone, your upper arm bone. It has a round ball on the end of it. And your shoulder joint has this cup, and that cup is actually part of your shoulder blade bone. And so your arm bone, that head, that ball of it, inserts into this cup. And that is the bony structure of the shoulder. But then to keep those two bones connected, God has created what's called a capsule around it. It's like, you know, if you think about a capsule of medication that you might take, it holds all that medicine together. And so we have this capsule, which is typically very flexible, enables our arm to move behind our back, way up over our head, out to the side. But when it becomes, quote unquote, frozen or stiff, we find that that capsule loses its flexibility. So, Neil, it's kind of like an accordion that has the ability to be pulled apart. It stops having that ability to be pulled apart. And so those accordion parts that are kind of in your armpit area, they lose their flexibility and they don't spread apart. So we don't have the ability to move as well as we should.
Well, as you just indicated, so this doesn't necessarily happen all of a sudden. There is a progression, right?
Yeah, you know, the first thing that people will notice is their shoulder's kind of painful. And funny enough, even though your shoulder is at the very top of your body, away from your neck, the pain that people feel in terms of shoulder pain is usually in their mid-upper arm. They start grabbing and rubbing their mid-upper arm right at where their deltoid muscle inserts into the bone, and that's where the shoulder refers its pain. So oftentimes that's the first place that people are feeling pain. And then they'll go to put on their coat or reach behind their back to maybe tuck in their shirt, or women to adhere to clip their bra, and they'll get a sharper pain in their shoulder. And so the painful stage, that's the first stage of the adhesive capsulitis.
But, of course, it goes on because we're talking about a frozen shoulder. You can actually freeze it up at some point, right?
Yeah, so that painful shoulder that hasn't lost mobility yet is going to become now more limited in motion. So now you go to reach behind, and maybe you can't even reach your bra strap if you're a woman, or you can't fully tuck in your pants. You're having a difficult time doing that. Or you're reaching for something up in the upper cabinet, and you're painfully limited. And so that's that second stage, is when it becomes frozen. And then the third stage, where your cooking analogy comes in, Neil, is that we have this thawing out stage. And the thawing stage happens if nothing is done to a frozen shoulder. That means you've not gone to the doctor, you've not had any physical therapy. Can take up to 2 years to defrost your frozen shoulder to regain the motion and to eliminate the pain. Just naturally, that's the course of this process.
But I would assume that, you know, being a physical therapist, that we can speed this along, and there's probably, what, anti-inflammatory help that we could get in the process too.
Yeah. You know, one of the first things, Neil, that I ask my patients is I ask them some medical questions, because Frozen shoulder in women especially is oftentimes a sign that their thyroid gland is not functioning well. So there's like this interesting combination of decreased thyroid hormone production and frozen shoulder. So I asked them, have they been to their doctor for blood work? It also is correlated with diabetes or cardiovascular disease, the prevalence of it. So the first thing I want to make sure is that we've kind of addressed those areas. Do they have that issue? If they haven't, have they been checked for any of those things? Then the next thing I want to know is, did their doctors give them some anti-inflammatory medications to take? Because there's part inflammation in this process, and that oftentimes helps with the pain, although it doesn't help much with the range of motion, Neil. So that's when you head to a physical therapist. Because where nature running its own course in a frozen shoulder could take up to 2 years, you could reduce your recovery time to about 6 to maybe at the far end 9 months to recover if you have someone like a physical therapist who is performing stretching exercises and joint mobilization to stretch out that capsule and to start to free it up. So we can free it up much easier, get you back to doing all the things that God has called you to do and be, whether it's housework, raising your kids, or picking up kids in the nursery, or what have you.
Well, I guess the one hand I want you to talk about, you know, stretching, is this something that should only happen with a physical therapist's guidance and assistance? And then on the other hand, if we don't do anything, could it sort of freeze up and limit us, you know, permanently?
Yeah, the adhesive capsulitis disease process, if you would, is self-limiting. So it typically responds by itself in about 2 years' time, and no one really knows truly why that is. Certainly, I have dealt with frozen shoulder symptoms in the elderly population who don't typically raise their arms up above their shoulder height, and they can get stuck there for the next decade, you know, if they don't use it. That question, Neil, about stretching your own shoulder, what's interesting is that just moving your arm behind your back and overhead doesn't stretch the capsule as much as having someone's hands kind of gripping and stabilizing the shoulder and pushing that arm bone in different directions into that capsule. Because when your arm goes up overhead to a wave goodbye to someone, if you would, your arm bone, that round bone in the joint, actually has to drop towards the floor. So it's the opposite direction of movement. So if you raised your arm up overhead trying to stretch out your capsule, you'd never drive your arm bone down towards the floor in its socket. So someone has to passively do that for you.
One that is going to bring results, I think that's the best news, is that if somebody's dealing with pain, I guess this is not the same as like a rotator cuff injury, all right?
Absolutely not. Yeah. So the rotator cuff is a group of four muscles that surrounds on the outside of the capsule, and it actually attaches into the capsule. And so rotator cuff injuries, whether they're tendonitis or tendinosis, and progressively becoming tears, partial or full tears, is a whole different animal.
Okay. Does arthritis play a part in this? You mentioned that, you know, seniors, it takes a little longer, but I mean, is that, if we have some arthritis, is that going to play a part in tightening this up?
Yeah, you know, Neil, that's a great question. The shoulder is as simple as it seems, like a ball and socket joint. It has a supporting cast of characters, if you would, that includes the bones, the muscles, the covering over the bone, so as that wears down, it's arthritis. But we also have joints above the shoulder joint, one that's called the acromial clavicular joint, which people know as the AC joint. There's other joints with your collarbone as they attach into your breastbone. Your rib cage and your thoracic spine, all of those things need to be functioning well in terms of joint motion and soft tissue motion to have a good, healthy shoulder. So one of the things that I teach my students is that when someone comes in with a shoulder problem, whether it's arthritis, it's tendonitis, it's a frozen shoulder, don't just treat their shoulder. And in fact, don't treat their shoulder even first. Treat their spine, treat their rib cage, treat all of the accessory joints in the area, and then finish up with the shoulder, because we have to create a healthy foundation for the shoulder to function in. So that's kind of how you know if you're getting good care when you go seek physical therapy or such, is that someone has a more eclectic, inclusive view of how to treat your shoulder.
That's a good word. Lisa, is there any issue taking like anti-inflammatory medication over, say, a 6 to 9 month period as you're working through, you know, like a frozen shoulder?
You know, with frozen shoulder, anti-inflammatories seem to be effective. Now, when you just talked about the rotator cuff problem, Neil, that's where we're going to run into problems because there's two different types of things that happen to our tendons. One is called tendinitis and one is called tendinosis. Now, tendinitis is an inflammatory condition that happens if we're injured. So if we have taken on a load that's too heavy or taken on a load too quickly and we've damaged the tendon, there's going to be inflammation, and that's when we want to take those non-steroidal anti-inflammatories, ibuprofen and such. If you have a chronic problem, a chronic shoulder problem or even forearm problem like tennis elbow, you have something called tendinosis. And that is a prolonged degeneration of the collagen in the area. And taking an anti-inflammatory actually prohibits collagen formation.
Our time is out, unfortunately, but go to lisamarone.com to sign up for the Monday Morning Health Tip, and you'll get some great advice as we have just gotten today.